You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Ride-hailing apps have grown in popularity considerably over the past decade, disrupting the previous taxi sector and now competing directly with public transport systems. But this can have a number of negatives, including added congestion, less efficient use of infrastructure, all in the name of overseas capital growth. I spoke to Auckland University urban planning researcher Dr. Tim Welch about the growth and impacts of ride-hailing apps, starting by asking how ride-hailing grew in the first place.
Ride-hailing was initially sold as a way to kind of supplement public transportation and let people share rides back and forth where they couldn't go by any other mode. But what's really happened is people have replaced a public transportation or even a bike or walk trip with a ride-hail trip, and it has meant that we have a lot more congestion in our cities. Due to kind of single cars driving around the city waiting to pick somebody up and one person in the back of a car riding around.
More recently, specifically, many people have described the constant bus cancellations that have been happening here as leaving them with no option other than to use ride hailing. How much does Uber exploit the failures or unreliability of our current public transport system?
It's unfortunate that our public transportation system has become so unreliable that a ride-hailing app would be a better alternative. But there's certainly some ability for these apps to kind of fill that gap. In some places, they're contracted to supplement public transportation, but we certainly don't like seeing trips that would go on public transportation being replaced with ride-hail apps.
There's not a lot of research for Aotearoa specifically, but a study in Boston found 4/5 of people take an Uber just by themselves. Over half said they would have either biked, walked, or taken public transit if ride-hailing was unavailable, and 15% of ride-hailing trips added to rush hour congestion. And a study from San Francisco found a 40% increase in congestion as a result of ride-hailing apps. Would there be any kind of estimate for the impact that it's having here?
Yeah, I haven't seen any solid numbers yet for New Zealand, but I'd assume that the trends are pretty similar. What causes this is people finding that there's a lack of infrastructure for walking or cycling or reliability in public transportation, so they decide to use a ride-hailing app instead, and we certainly are faced with those issues as well. So I would not be surprised if we saw in the real numbers here in New Zealand significant increases in congestion and a lot of what we call cannibalization of public transport and walking and cycling into these ride-hailing apps.
Every time someone takes kind of a ride-hailing app, viewing it as revenue taken out from the public transport system put into private hands.
Yeah, it's kind of a double whammy in a sense. It's removing people and revenue for public transportation. At the same time, it's adding cars to the road, which is slowing down our bus network and making it less reliable and slower, and then pushing more people into ride-hailing apps in theory. So it's kind of this vicious cycle. What we can do to solve that is make buses more efficient, give them the space they need to run quickly and reliably, and then ride-hailing apps can kind of be the place for people who need to take those trips where other modes aren't available.
There was a general study that found that when transport reliability went up and transport times on public transport went down, demand for rideshare decreased, obviously vice versa.
I mean, there are clear correlations between the availability and reliability of public transport and people's use of ride-hailing apps. So they can be kind of substitution or competition depending on kind of how they're structured and the public transportation system and its function in the city.
Would you be able to maybe speak on how Uber has replaced taxi services?
Sure. Now, we've done some work on that in the past, and it's made taxi services, as we know them, much less profitable. We've seen in other places. I don't know exactly what's happening yet in New Zealand. I don't have firm numbers on that, but in other places like in New York, in the States, you have to buy a medallion to be a taxi driver, and the price of those medallions, which are kind of assets that families pass along or sell, has dropped significantly, so that people are kind of underwater on their medallion. It's like buying a house, and it's worth so much less now ever since Uber entered the market. So we know that taxi services have been hit significantly by ride-hailing apps, and part of that is because taxi services didn't really jump into the 21st century with apps and easy ways to hail them, but they also, ride-hailing apps are often heavily subsidized and don't turn a profit, so they're doing these services that taxis have done for a living wage at a much lower cost.
Uber is quite a clear example, I think, of big tech scaling quickly with a lot of investor capital, disrupting previous markets, and then trying to eke back profits by slowly increasing costs on the consumer after they've entered that market.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so what happened is that Uber and other ride-hailing apps, but specifically Uber, has operated at a loss for a long time to try to take as much market as they can. In fact, Uber, I think it was just last year, turned revenue positive for the very first time in many years. And so they're just now starting to get to a point where they're kind of breaking even or making profit because they've offered these rides at such a low cost. And at the same time, cities are starting to recognize the impact of these services and the kind of the low income that's associated with them, that's often below minimum wage. And as a result, they're starting to treat people who drive for Uber and other ride-hailing apps as employees rather than contractors, so that they have to pay them benefits or have to give them a livable wage. And so that's going to change the cost structure for some of these apps, and it may mean that other companies that are more traditional service providers will start to bounce back.
That was Dr. Tim Welch on the impact of ride-hailing apps.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.